Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of Birds at the Rodeo. I'm Eric, the resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
Congratulations to the Seattle Seahawks. Obviously, this is the Monday post-Super Bowl. I know a lot of people took the day off. I actually know somebody who I found out today, he has taken the day, the Monday off, the Monday after the Super Bowl, he has taken off every Monday for the past like 20 years. And I said, man, right. I said, I need to get on that bandwagon, honestly. But yeah, man, I mean, and before I even, you know, we even get into the whole Seattle thing, you had something very, very hot to say before we even recorded. So I'm just gonna let you get to it. You got beef with the New England Patriots on a whole nother level right now.
Yeah, it's like, cause I've always been a person who, you know, with the Patriots' success that they've had throughout the years, and how there's a lot of people that hate them for it. I've never been one of those people. I've always kind of, you know, I was not even really realizing, but kind of subconsciously rooting for the Eagles. I mean,
the Patriots.
I've never done that in my life. Subconsciously rooting for the Patriots, but not even realizing now that I'm realizing that I actually hate the New England Patriots with every bone in my body, because those subconscious times I'm rooting for the Patriots is because in the Super Bowl, they have so many appearances against teams that I would want them to beat.
Right.
And all those wins they have, but for some reason, again, when it's the team I need them to beat, they lose. They have two losses to the Giants,
yep,
division rivals. Lost to the Eagles, biggest rival in
they did, all They did sports. Beat us in 04, though.
That's their one single win against the team I need them beat. They lost to the Packers before that, right, and then just lost to the Seahawks.
Yep, and you needed them to beat Seattle because
I hate DeMarcus Lawrence.
Right. Tank now has a ring. I know you were hate-watching, hoping that Seattle would not be able to pull it off.
Yeah, I mean, once they made it, I kind of expected it. I was, like you said, as much as I didn't want it to happen, I didn't really think there was a way that it wouldn't.
Right.
Like we say, we were talking before, I didn't even think New England really had any business being in that game. I didn't really think it had a chance to be close.
I definitely did.
And I didn't think New England's defense was going to be able to completely shut them out the way Seattle's defense was. I knew that New England was going to have a very, very, very hard time putting points on the board. And as well as New England's defense had played, unless it was, you know, Jared Stidham in his first game.
Right.
Playing, or if it was, you know, CJ Stroud with the historic performance. historically bad performance. I mean, did we really know if that defense was going to be able to hold up if the other team just, you know, was able to run the ball, was able to not make mistakes?
Right.
I mean, that was all it took for Seattle to completely blow them out.
Right. And I mean, I'll say this first and foremost. I did expect Seattle to win, but I was telling anybody who would listen, I really felt like the Patriots had a good shot if they could do two things. One, we talked about it last episode, if they could get Sam Darnold off of Jaxon Smith-Njigba, which they did for the most part, shut Jaxon Smith-Njigba down right before he got hurt in the third quarter.
Right.
Christian Gonzalez and company were shutting him down.
He had a couple big passes.
He was keeping the Patriots in the game. Absolutely. And then number two, if they could bottle up Kenneth Walker in the run game. Obviously, they failed tremendously at ladder number two.
Super Bowl MVP.
Right? I mean, he had 94 rushing yards in the first half.
Yeah.
Okay, and for the record, I don't know about you, but it didn't even feel like to me that he was even remotely close to that. Like, at least watching the game play out, it didn't feel like it to me.
I mean, it kind of did. It felt like he was just, you know,
he was just chipping away.
Yeah, literally.
He was just chipping away,
stacking up those carries.
Right.
Stacking up those 4 or 5 yard
gains. I mean, that was Seattle's whole offense for the most part.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, they weren't really moving the ball.
No, they were not. Sam Darnold didn't play a great game.
Absolutely not.
You know what I'm saying? So
the kicker could have got the Super Bowl MVP.
Dude, Jason Myers hit 5 field goals. I mean, dude, listen.
Couldn't think of his name, but yeah.
No, the Pages were absolutely in the game, even heading into the third quarter. I mean, dude, listen, like you said, the Patriots defense, they were only going to get but so many stops. But to their credit, they held the Seattle Seahawks to 4 field goals throughout the third quarter.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if you're telling me you're down 12-0, all right, man, you know what, fine, we'll take a hand into the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, right? I mean, we've seen bigger comebacks, right?
Yeah, but it's like, it's one thing if...
It's hard.
Not that the comeback is hard, but it's one thing if you're, say... If you haven't scored a point,
mm-hmm.
it's different if, oh, like, you were kind of moving the ball and then had a turnover in the red zone, or you went for it on fourth down, didn't get it. They had 4 first downs.
Yeah, 4 first downs, 8 punts.
There was nothing. I just didn't see how they were going to be able to turn that around.
Me neither. And then they had the 3-play drive, and boom.
I mean, they had the 3-play drive, but... Nothing about the 3-play drive seemed like it was sustainable.
I'll say this, because I kept saying it throughout, like, watching the game. I'm like, Travion Henderson, he needs to be your big play guy, right? He's the explosive guy when it comes to running the football. He's the guy they need to get more touches to. And what did they do the third quarter? They were running outside zone. He was gashing them. It was working. And then they stopped for some reason. I don't know why Josh McDaniels did that. I don't know. All I'm saying is, to me, the Patriots had a shot. And to me, honestly, I don't think it was a terrible football game. It wasn't a great Super Bowl by any stretch, but it wasn't a bad football game to me, okay? We saw two teams play tremendous defense, right? The Seahawks obviously have the number one defense in football. And the Patriots defense, who I think people still underrated tremendously, they held the vaunted Seattle Seahawks offense to 4 field goals throughout the three quarters. Right. So the Patriots defense played as well as they could for as long as they possibly could.
Right.
OK. I mean, the sad reality of it is Drake May, Will Campbell, Ramondre Stevenson, Josh McDaniels, Jared Wilson, Garrett Bradbury, Michael Owenu, Morgan Moses, Hunter Henry, like Stephon Diggs, like the Patriots offense failed. Last night, in every way possible, they let the fans down. They let their defense down. They let everybody down. Okay,
especially the O line. They mentioned it plenty of times on the broadcast. They were literally just rushing forward, dropping everybody's back.
Base defense,
and then
base defense.
They were getting home. They were pressuring Drake May, mm-hmm. sacking Drake May, strip sacking Drake May. The interception he threw,
he never had any time to settle in.
Right.
Never had any time to settle in. And yeah, he, don't get me wrong, Drake May missed some throws when he had time, but he barely had time.
Yeah, no, there were, you know, a few days.
Like Will Campbell, Will Campbell, I've defended him before. But man,
yeah, he got whooped.
He might need to move to guard, bro. Because he just
whooped.
And they took him 4th overall, so this has to work.
Yeah,
right. You spoke about that before, right? If we're investing high draft capital and high resources in guys, it has to pan out.
Right,
right. It has to. We took him 4th overall to protect Drake May, and. I mean, he's had an up and down rookie season, but man.
It was bad at the biggest moment.
Right. When your best is required, it did not show up last night. Will Campbell did not play good. Jared Wilson, his left guard, didn't play good. I mean, the whole line, it was bad. And again, I understand the Seahawks have the number one defense in football. I get it. But man, I mean, the Patriots offense just failed to show up. They decided to stay on the bus. They didn't want to come out and play last night. I don't know what it was, but yeah, man. And I'll say this too, because right now all the talk is Drake May a fraud, or he is a fraud, right? I'm not gonna say that yet. I mean, look, I have more faith in Drake May than I do in Will Campbell right now.
My thing is, he's not a fraud because he's not showing. Like, what he's done this far isn't showing more than what he is, if that makes sense.
So what do you view him as right now, I guess?
A guy who's decent, but he got lucky.
Lucky in what way?
In that he went to the Super Bowl because his defense played well, but also had the most fortunate circumstances to play well in.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear you.
That's not even just for the playoffs, throughout the entire season.
Right.
They didn't face many challenges. Right. So it's like, I'm not really looking at him as a.
But, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but like, I will say though, just like in terms of the regular season, because here's the thing, you can't help who they put on the schedule. All you can do is go out there and play and ball out, which is what he did for the most part. I mean, that he was just
true.
The MVP runner-up, right?
That is true. But when it comes to your narrative and your how we discuss you as an individual, that's still going to play a part. You can't. Oh,
yeah.
And that's my thing. Like, when it comes to discussing people and stuff, yes, winning is all that matters on the field and all that. But discussions, like the conversation, like the context and all that, it's almost like the results are like way low down on like what matters if we're in terms of discussing this person, because like so much more goes into that. Like, I'm not looking at him as, like I said, as a guy who's just the savior of New England, who's gonna get it done no matter what. If his defense, if CJ Stroud doesn't have them, because if the Texans were still in position to win that game, mm-hmm. with that all-time bad performance from CJ Stroud, because Drake May was on the other side of the field turning the ball over almost just.
I really think if D'Amico Ryans benches CJ Stroud for Davis Mills, they might pull it out.
If they play Jared Stidham and the Broncos not in a blizzard, I'm not even sure they win. And if they play Bo Nix in a blizzard or without a blizzard, I'm not sure they win. I just don't see Drake May as just I'm not seeing anything from him as an individual that's just gonna put him in some elite tier to where I think he's the next, no matter what happens, mm-hmm. like they're good at QB.
Right.
Not saying that they're gonna move on, like, because they are. No, he's their guy.
Yeah.
But I'm saying to where, like, no matter who you put around him, they're gonna be contenders. Absolutely not.
Right. I think I hear what you're saying. Again, I just think, I mean, for me, it's two things, right? Like, are you winning games and are you performing in winning these games, right? And the regular season, I mean, look, Drake May was MVP runner-up and deservedly so, right? He was balling, okay? Like, yes, he had a cupcake schedule, whatever. He can't help who the NFL puts in front of him. He goes out there, he plays whoever it is. He dices them up. That's it. I'll take it, right? I think when it comes to postseason, though, yeah, you're right. How you win, right? Who you play, what what circumstances that opponent may be under right now, you know, yeah, that definitely plays a role in it. And Drake May did not have a good postseason run at all. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and defend him. I'm not gonna say he was lighting it up. He absolutely was not. I mean, in the AFC Championship game, he had more rushing yards than passing yards, right? So yeah, but I do think the Patriots have found their guy. I'm not saying he's going to, you know, be Tom Brady 2.0, whatever. That's just, that's almost impossible. Like, I mean, it basically is impossible. You can't expect anybody else. I mean, even with Patrick Mahomes, right? We just talk about him. If he can get to what do people say, five? If they say if he can get to five, then it's like, okay, like he's close enough where, like, we can start having that conversation.
I just want to know why, see, you brought him up. People are kind of, do you see people saying that, like, oh, Patrick Mahomes is now out of, like, the GOAT conversation? Like, it's Tom Brady,
not seen that. People are saying that?
I think they are, but I feel like that's just kind of revisionist history, because it's not like Tom Brady won all his rings back to back to back.
No, he had a 10-year break.
Give me sweet. He lost in the Super Bowl. Yeah. Like, Patrick Mahomes was coming off a loss in the Super Bowl,
right?
And then obviously his first losing season.
Since he's been a starter,
right? And so it's like, but it's like, yeah. Well, if we look at Tom Brady's final product, we know what he did, but Patrick Mahomes is still, like, who knows where his career will go.
Right, and I mean, it's. It's still too entirely early to tell one way or the other, right? I mean, look, for my money, right, at his best, Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback I've ever seen play.
I'm taking Patrick.
At his best, the best quarterback I've ever seen play. Now, again, I am saying that as a guy who also believes Tom Brady is the greatest football player to me, right? Like you put together everything, his accomplishments, you know, his 21 year career, like it's Tom Brady for me.
The GOAT.
Right. Mahomes is obviously chasing that. Okay. But I mean, he's well on his way. I mean, the man has been to 5 Super Bowls already. He's been to 5. He's not even 30 yet. He's been to 5. He's won 3.
Been to how many
AFC Championship games? Oh, what, 6? Yeah. I think it's 6. So no, he's well on his way. I mean, dude, is it safe to say he's already passed or surpassed Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
Right. So you know what I'm saying? I mean. Yeah, I think that's crazy. What I do say to that, though, is, and I'm one of these people, too, I need to see what Patrick Mahomes looks like. And I guess Andy Reid, it sounds like he's coming back. Travis Kelce, I'm hearing talk, he's coming back. I don't want to see that, but whatever. I don't anticipate Andy Reid coaching Patrick Mahomes his whole career. I could be totally wrong, but I don't anticipate that happening. And when and if Andy Reid does step down, to me, that's when it gets interesting in the post-Andy Reid era for Patrick Mahomes. Because you've had, you know, the best offensive mind in football, and you've got to be able to play backyard football and rattle off 3 Super Bowls. So what are you going to be able to do after that? That's what I'm most interested in seeing. And again, maybe we'll never get to that point. Maybe Andy Reid coaches until he's like 77. I don't know.
Right.
Right? If he does, then so be it. We'll see how this ride goes. But no, I think Patrick Mahomes is squarely in the conversation, but he does need to get back to winning. And I honestly need to see Patrick Mahomes get back to airing that thing out, because that's the thing. Patrick Mahomes was so prolific in his first 2.5 seasons.
Right.
Right? It was literally bombs away. You can't stop me.
5,000 yards.
Right. 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns in his first season as a starter. And he's tailed off a little bit ever since then. I know Tyreek Hill, you know, he got traded and everything. And really that trade was the seismic shift in like, okay, our offense can't do that no more. We had to shift to this. So, yeah, man, we'll see. They're bringing Eric Bieniemy back as offensive coordinator. So maybe they'll get back to some of those concepts of just letting Patrick Mahomes air that thing out, you know. But, no, I definitely think he's still squarely in the conversation.
Absolutely.
You know, I haven't seen any of that. That's crazy. But no, yeah, I mean, with New England, though, I mean, there's definitely questions to be had about New England. I think they need to reevaluate their whole offensive line. Will Campbell, he might need to move to guard. Because it's funny, I texted my friend, he's an LSU fan, right? Will Campbell, obviously LSU All-American. And I said, did Will Campbell ever, like, struggle at LSU? And he was like, no. And I was like, Will Campbell might need to move to guard. And he goes, Will Campbell at LSU was a tackle. He said, Will Campbell in the NFL is a guard. And I'm like, man, okay. Because.
Yeah, he was getting pushed around.
Dude, he was getting pushed around. But what's crazy is, like, on some of his pass sets, I swear to you, like, as soon as he is getting on his stance, like, getting ready to punch the edge was already to his shoulder. Like, it was crazy the amount of speed that he just could not comprehend. He might need to move to guard. He might need to move to guard, but you, and again,
get in them trenches immediately.
Yeah, here's the thing. Cause same thing with Drake May, same thing with Will Campbell. Like, yeah, played horrible, right? Maybe this is the growing point. Maybe this is the hitting point of like, okay, all right, rookie year, we made it to the Super Bowl, whatever. I played bad. And maybe Will Campbell will rattle off a 10, 12 year career, perennial all pro, whatever. Maybe he just had a bad game. Maybe this was just the worst game he will ever play. And if so, so be it. But man,
it was bad.
It was bad. And I'm not going to lie, I would have benched Will Campbell come the second half. I definitely would have benched him. I don't know if that would have changed anything, but I definitely would have benched him. I'm sorry. It's a Super Bowl. We gotta make some.
We gotta shake. Figure something.
You gotta, yeah. We gotta make something shake here, man. Please, please. But yeah, man. I mean, obviously, there's gonna be a lot of questions about Drake May and New England moving forward. Obviously, the dynasty is not back. The Patriots are not back. Okay, and as I say that, I think it's almost unfair to even put that expectation on like this Patriots team. It's a brand new team.
Yeah,
brand new team. Mike Vrabel. We know he was on those old Patriot dynasties, but brand new team, let them figure it out on their own. And yeah, I mean, we'll see what New England has to say moving forward. But on the other side of it, though, Seattle, number one, got their get back. right? Because they lost to the Patriots. We know about the Malcolm Butler interception.
Yeah.
The worst call in pro sports, in my opinion. Pete Carroll somewhere saying, thank God. Thank God that the Seattle was able to get one back on New England, because that call to this day, I don't know what that was. But Seattle, they are world champions. Sam Darnold, say whatever you want about him, that man has completed his redemption arc.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's crazy. He has a ring before Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, to a lesser degree, Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, like, you know, because it's talking about, because he was in that draft class, the 2018 draft class, and he has, I'm not going to say outperformed, but I mean, he has made it to the mountaintop before everybody else. And nobody saw this coming, right? I mean, going to the Jets, right? Labeled a bust. Then you get traded to Carolina. It doesn't work out there. Then you go to San Fran, back up Brock Purdy for a year. Then you go to Minnesota. Then you rattle off 14 wins last year. You fizzle out in the playoffs. You play bad in the playoffs, whatever. Then you come to Seattle on a questionable deal, right? People didn't like it. And then you rattle off 14 wins. You get the number one seed. And you rattle off the Super Bowl win. I mean, man, that Marshawn Lynch commercial. Did you see that? The Nike commercial?
Yeah.
To me, that was the perfect.
Just like the imagery.
That was the perfect imagery. That was a perfect analogy for like everything that Sam Darnold fucking went through.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, again, we both said it. Sam Darnold didn't play great. He was a game manager, and he managed the game pretty well. And Sam Darnold is now a Super Bowl champion. Sam Darnold has a ring, and I mean, look, say what you want about him, but nobody can take that ring away from him, man. I mean, yeah, he led the league in turnovers this past season,
but doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. He's the last one standing, right? He's the last one standing. Do you think this is the start of something in Seattle?
Honestly, yeah, I definitely think it's something they can build upon. I think the league right now is at a place where there's a lot of parity in the league. We talked about it all season, especially with I think there were a lot of good teams in the NFC. And then another thing we talked about before that we got on the show and started recording is that I look across the AFC and I just don't see a lot of offensive talent.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, they're at a place where they can sign their key guys. So a lot of their key guys are young on rookie deals already.
Yeah.
So it's like they can really build off this in terms of free agency, who they draft. Obviously, their draft picks aren't just going to be amazing. But
they've hit on them.
Exactly.
They have hit on them.
It's like, I mean, yeah, just to make the long answer short, absolutely. I think this is something they can build upon and be the start of something.
Right. No, I'm with you. I mean, they got the number one defense in football. And what's crazy is they don't even have – they have really good players. They don't have, like, I don't remember, I'll say this, Devin Witherspoon, I think he's elite. Nick Emiwori, I think he's elite. Ernest Jones is really good. But, like, specifically on their D-line, like, Leonard Williams, he's really, really good. They don't have, like, a 15 to 20 sack guy.
Yeah.
Right? They don't have that. They just have 6, 7, 8 guys who will get after it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's scary because – I mean, you know, I don't know what their cast rates looking like, but I mean, if they can mess around and go out and get somebody, if they, you know, keep drafting, hitting on these draft picks, I mean, man, you just keep giving that team more talent. It's going to get scary, man. It's going to get really scary. Rashid Shaheed, you know, they keep him.
Traded for him at the deadline.
Right. If they keep him on a long-term deal, that's going to be scary. No, the Seahawks are definitely built for success in the short term and in the long term. And I'm with you. I think this could absolutely turn into something. I mean, I said it, you know, before the season was even over, you know, when we were talking about the Eagles, you know, playoff prospects and everything. I said it. I didn't want to see Seattle. I did not want to see Seattle because they would have beat the brakes off us. Hands down, they would have beat the brakes off us. But yeah, I'm with you. I think Seattle has something. I think Mike McDonald is just getting started. And I think these boys are young. I don't think it's Legion of Boom esque. Don't get me wrong, though, they're the number one defense, but like they just do it differently than Legion of Boom did.
Right. It's a lot less structured.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, dude, you got Devin Witherspoon coming off the edge on blitzes. You got Nick Emiwori coming down in the box. I mean, they just fly around.
Right.
They just fly around. They get to it. You got a veteran leader in Leonard Williams and Tank Lawrence. Yeah, I'm sorry, man. Hey, what do you want me to do, man? But yeah, no, I think Seattle is definitely built for success in the short and long term. And I'll say this too. I don't know if you saw my post on Instagram, but shout out to Xavier. He is the only Seahawks fan I know. Me and Leno had a class with him back at Texas State.
I didn't even know you still talked to him.
Yeah, I follow him. You follow him?
No.
Oh, well, Xavier, shout out to Xavier, man. I chopped up with him recently. He's the only Seahawks fan I know. So congrats to you. Actually, I'm lying. Jaquan, you were also a Seahawks fan. I spoke to you at work today. Shout out to Xavier and Jaquan. I know them boys are lit right now. And yeah, man, just one more time, hats off to the Seattle Seahawks. Y'all pulled it off. Y'all did what you're supposed to do. Hats off to Sam Darnold. I don't know what else they can do to question him at this point. I mean, he's done it. Like he's won 30 games in the past three seasons, right? He's won 14 games for two different teams, right? And he's rattled off a Super Bowl. I don't know what else you want from the man.
Right.
Right. So
I'll give my shout out to my barber, or one. I have a friend who's a barber who's a Seahawks fan.
Okay.
He was confident in them from like very early on in the season.
Okay.
And he's actually giving out free haircuts tomorrow. And
you want to put out
No, I think it'll be two packed. Who's already saying first come, first serve. He's free haircuts? He's got his outlets.
What's the motivation behind it? Is it just,
he's a Seahawks fan. He's just.
Oh, like, that's why he's doing it?
Yeah.
Oh,
he's like excited. It's going to, yeah, he says.
To anybody or just free Seahawks man, or any Seahawks fan?
For anybody. He's just, as long as you come within the hours, he's like, he's not cutting before, not cutting after.
That's crazy.
I will, because you might like him. And then he continues to cut your hair, and then you do pay him. His Instagram is, I think it's K2Faded.
What's his name?
Yes, K, the number 2, Faded.
Is he on Booksy?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, y'all heard it here first. Go to, is it his shop or does he work at a shop?
It's his.
It's his shop. Yeah. Okay. Go to.
Oh, well, this will be, unless this is coming out tomorrow.
Hey, man, you never know. I mean, it's still a free plug. Go ahead and give it to him.
Y'all can hit him up.
Yeah. Hit up Lando's barber friend. You probably will get a free haircut by the time you see this, but you never know.
And then my favorite comedian is a Seahawks fan. Kev on stage, he's from Seattle. He's excited about his family's Seahawks fan, so good for them, I guess.
Shout out to the 12s, man. Shout out to the 12s. I know y'all ride deep. Shout out to the 12s, man. I know y'all were sick to win it in San Fran like that, but hey, man, you can't dictate where the big game is played. All you can do is bring home the trophy, and that's what they did. Let's move forward a little bit. There's a little bit of news coming out of Dallas. I don't know what to make of it. I don't know if you've made anything of it yet, but I don't know if you saw. I'm sure you saw the report. It appears that y'all, the Dallas Cowboys, plan to franchise tag George Pickens.
Yeah. I mean, I figured that would be the
course of action.
Yeah, it's either we're going to do it, give us more time to work out a long-term deal, or it would lead to a sign-and-trade, which...
We seen any talk of that?
Or not a signing trade, but basically it gives us an opportunity to either work out a long-term deal or trade him somewhere to get something back for him. Going record, I want us to sign him. I think trading him would be a terrible idea.
But you haven't seen any talk of that, right? It's just
like, no, those are just the options.
Right.
Yeah, no, there's no really... no wind of like what direction they're kind of like looking towards or headed towards. All they said is, and even there's just been like initial reports that we plan on using. They haven't even made that a for sure.
Yeah. We got some time before like that actually can happen.
But, right.
All indications are seeming, you know, out of Dallas that y'all are going to put the franchise tag on him, assumingly to get a long-term deal done. Cause I'm with you. I don't think y'all should trade him. I think y'all should keep him. I think, him, a healthy CD, a healthy Dak can cause damage for years to come. I'm saying that as an Eagles fan. I'm saying that as an Eagles fan who watched the Cowboys play this season. And when healthy, George Pickens, when healthy and locked in fully, George Pickens was, did he make second team All-Pro?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was an All-Pro receiver. So, yeah, I absolutely think the Cowboys should do whatever they can to get a long-term deal done. I don't know if you've seen some of the news coming out of Philly. But, man, when it rains, it pours. Because now reports are coming out that, and we spoke about Lane Johnson possibly retiring, and now Landon Dickerson at the ripe age of 27, he's my age,
That is crazy.
And he is talking about retiring.
They look so old.
Well, listen. Well, Lane Johnson's like 35, but...
Okay.
Landon Dickerson, dude. If Lane Johnson retires, that's going to hurt like hell. But, like, I kind of saw that coming. Landon Dickerson?
Yeah, that'd be detrimental.
Dude.
That line would be
completely... Oh, my God. And that would shift... Our whole plan in the offseason.
And that's like the worst way to lose a player in terms of like a team success standpoint, because you get nothing. There's no draft capital,
no.
You don't save any money, or right. I guess you
do. No, I mean, and I'll say this, like if Landon Dickerson truly believes like his body can't take it no more, by all means, go ahead. You know, call it quits, man. You know, take care of your body and protect yourself. First and foremost, but like, yeah, dude, that would be so detrimental to the team. I mean, our whole draft plan would shift. I mean, I'm already seeing mock drafts coming out. They're talking about us drafting a guard when we need a corner bad, right? We need a corner bad. Yeah, man. So a lot of things are up in the air right now in Philly. Like I said, man, when it rains, it pours. I'm not feeling great right now, and there is not a lot of love in the room for Nick Sirianni. You know, when I speak to other Eagles fans, I mean, I'll be straight with you. If we don't get back to the Super Bowl next year, he got to go. Because it's been too much turmoil and you have been at the center of all of it.
Right.
I have no more grace to give you. I have no more leash to give you.
It's like you did your job, and we appreciate it, but like you got to continue to do it.
You did, you right. And, you know, you essentially picked Kevin Mutulo over Jeff Stoutland, and man, has that cost us so much. Like, I can't, man. I can't. So, yeah, for me personally, if we don't make it back to the Super Bowl next year, Nick got to go. He has to go. Vic Fangio, it's looking like this is going to be his last ride. It's a lot up in the air right now in Philly. A.J. Brown, you know, people are still talking about he might get traded or whatever. I don't know. Like, I'm still where I'm at. Like, I want to keep him,
mm-hmm.
but I want him to want us to keep him.
Right.
Right? If he's still feeling one way or the other, then, you know, if I so be it.
You know, and
cut the core, cut your losses, and just, you know, keep it pushing. You know, people talk about, like, how are you going to replace A.J. Brown? I mean, dude, like, there are ways to do it. Like, the receivers are coming out. The free agent class, I got to look at it again after George Pickens. But, look, there are ways to do it, okay? And we drafted Devontae Smith before we even traded for A.J. Brown.
Right.
So, I mean, I believe in our ability to draft well at receiver, okay? Don't get me wrong. You know, you missed out on Justin Jefferson for Jalen Reagor, but that's a story for another day. So, yeah, man, it's a lot up in the air right now for the Philadelphia Eagles, and I'm not feeling great right now. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not feeling great. I kind of just want the Landon and Lane news to blow one way or the other. Like, if they're going to retire,
do it.
Right, please, just because we got to rip that Band-Aid off, man. Got to rip that Band-Aid off.
No, I agree. The longer it, like,
you know, longer it drags out, you just can't.
It kind of puts the team in a position where they don't really know what they're going to do going forward. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the different coaches you guys are bringing in, are you satisfied with everybody y'all have?
I mean, Sean Mannion, I don't know what to make of that yet. Young guy, unproven. He's only been a coach in the league for 2 years. And, you know, I said it last week, I'll say it again. Jeff Stoutland would have been invaluable to Sean Mannion in his first couple years as the offensive coordinator.
Right.
Would have been invaluable to have Jeff Stoutland on the staff. So to not have him, that's a huge blow. Losing Christian Parker to y'all like that, that's a huge blow, especially now with the reports that Vic Fangio was contemplating retirement. And now it's just like this is going to be his last run. Again, I'll pose the question. Did we even, you know, throw it out there to Christian Parker? Like,
right.
Yo, Vic's, you know, he's on his way out. we'll make you assistant head coach. You'll be DC and Wade. As soon as he's gone, it's you. Like, did we even broach those conversations? I don't know. I hope he did, but I don't know. Right? Joe Casper, we kept him. He was our safeties coach. Now he's going to be our DB coach. So, yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot in flux right now.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know how to feel one way or the other. Sean Mannion, you know, we'll see. We'll see. You know, he's going to bring in a blend of what the Packers run and, you know, kind of that Sean McVay tree, because he played under Sean McVay when he was in the NFL and, you know, he learned a lot.
Right.
But we'll see. You know, we'll see. I'll tell you, I don't know. I don't know. I just.
Right. Now you don't know what to know.
The Jeff Stoutland news, like, that shook me. It still kind of shakes me now, because that's a tremendous loss, man. Right. Like, I think people don't really understand how big of a loss he really is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the man has coached Hall of Famers. He turned a 6th-round draft pick into a first ballot Hall of Famer in Jason Kelce. He turned a 7th-round draft pick in Jordan Mailata, who was a rugby player, into an all-pro left tackle. Okay? This man makes wine out of water. Okay?
Yeah.
You can't just...
The resume speaks for itself.
The resume speaks for itself. You can't just replace that. You can't just put that to the side. So yeah, I don't know how to feel about the coaching changes right now. Yeah, dude, I don't know.
No, I feel that. You just gotta kind of wait and see.
It's a wait and see approach. What about you? How do you feel about the Cowboys? Because I know Christian Parker, you said he was gonna meet with all the individual position coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know who's staying, who's gone, or?
No, they're still making those decisions. Yeah. So really just Christian Parker is really, I guess, just being really thorough with that. So
I'm sure,
guess, yeah, credit to him for that. That's, everything is kind of pointing towards the right direction.
Right, right. Well, you know, offseason is now officially upon us, right? Football, adios for now. Come back very, very, very soon.
Yep.
But basketball's ramping up, so I'm looking forward to really getting tapped in on the NBA. I'll say this too, because this is the one trade we did not talk about last week. The Pacers trade to get Zubac. I thought that was the steal of the deadline.
Yeah, really good trade.
Really good trade. And obviously the Pacers are out of it this year because, you know, Halliburton's out, whatever. But I think next year, yeah, dude. And it's funny because Jaquan, the Seahawks fan I was talking about before, I was talking to him about it at work. And he was like, man, if Zubac develops a 3, I'm like, what?
No, keep him down low.
I'm like, one, you don't need to. Two, you got Pascal Siakam for a reason. No. Listen, Zubac is going to do what Miles Turner could not do. He's going to rebound, play inside.
It's insane. Like, Miles Turner used to run away from rebounds. It felt like watching him play. It was crazy to be that tall and to, like, maybe get 5 rebounds a game.
You know what I'm noticing? Like, what is it about these two-way 4 and 5s that they can't rebound? Jaren Jackson Jr., do you know how many rebounds he's averaging? He's averaging like 5.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense. I don't know what it is about, because maybe it's because they're the ones contesting the shots so much, but like that, my thing is like,
I think it's because they're taking so many jump shots.
I've seen Miles Turner, like, the ball bounce near, like, he's not even going for rebounds. Mm-hmm. So it's not even just him contesting, even though I do think that would play a part in it. You're going for so many blocks, you're not going to be there for the rebound, but
mm-hmm.
Still, there's
no excuse.
They could be better.
It's no excuse. Me personally, I think it really comes down to a lot of these big men nowadays, right? They learn to play outside in. Right? That was my biggest issue with Joel Embiid for the longest time come playoff time. He's out there jacking up 10 to 12 jump shots, right? With like, dude, if you don't get your 7'1" behind in the low post and right. Go to work, I don't understand. I don't understand it. It's really fascinating. Like, the Jazz is traded for Jaren Jackson Jr., right? So now, I'm not gonna lie, I thought they were going to flip Walker Kessler at the deadline, but I think they're just going to let him walk now. But we'll see how that works. But yeah, no, the Pacers, I love the move for Zubac. I do. And if you're the Clippers, that's more flexibility. You got Benedict Mather, who I think is a really good player when he's locked in, of course. And you got Isaiah Jackson. He's a young center. We'll see if he can develop. And you got more flexibility with that. So, yeah, man, I think that was a good trade for both sides. But, yeah, I think the Pacers, man. And Zubac, he can mess around and average like 20 and 10 with Tyrese Halliburton being his point guard.
Definitely.
Right? Like, easily.
He attacks the board, mm-hmm. like, very aggressively. And he's very consistent. And he's a very proficient scorer, like yeah. when he gets the ball down low and when he gets to his spot. So mm-hmm. with a point guard like Halliburton, it's in Siakam, like you said, he's being able to knock down outside jumpers, spreading the floor.
Yep.
I feel that's a really good fit for them.
Absolutely. So I can't wait to see that team up and running next year. But yeah, I think that was a steal of the trade deadline. We'll see how things shake out. But before we get on out of here, it is now time for What Say You. And this week's topic is brought to us by Ryan Coogler.
Yeah, I guess it was an interview. They were asking, I don't know if they asked him about soda, but he was telling about like a story about how he didn't really drink soda, but once they gave him they started doing the option to like mix and match sodas. The think Coke, the machine they have is like the, you know, Coke mix up or something like that, where they have all the, he said that was really got him in, and he like is a really big fan of that. And for me, I'm the exact opposite.
How so?
I hate that thing.
Now, you're talking about the machine at like fast food places, right?
Where, yes, where it has all the things you want. Yes, I despise that thing.
Why?
The soda machine where it's each individual one, because for like, you can still taste the other stuff. Like, I don't care. It's in, even if you let it run, like it just doesn't taste the same. And
when you say other stuff, you mean
like the other flavors, the thing that they were just, the other people have been getting all day. Uh-huh. Like if I get, that's because like the topic I want to do was your favorite sodas,
right?
Because Sprite is my favorite soda. But like, I think Sprite could be the only soda and that'd be following me.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get a Sprite, it's like from one of those machines, it tastes like Dr. Pepper or Fanta or from the whatever they had from the all-in-one machine.
Yes.
And even if it doesn't taste like that, it doesn't taste the same. It doesn't taste like the Sprite from the individual dispenser, the Sprite from the bottle, Sprite from the can. It just tastes off. But my top three sodas are... Well, first of all, and the second of all, actually, for the next one besides me, all Pepsi products, get them out of here.
Okay.
Gross. Yuck. And I say that in comparison to Coke products.
Okay.
I can drink a Pepsi if that's all they have and I'm eating food and I'm thirsty. But Coke to Pepsi, Coke easily. Sprite, Sierra Mist, don't even disrespect me.
Yeah.
Freaking
Sierra Mist
with a Dr. Pepper to Dr. Pibb or Dr. Thunder, whatever they got. Like,
I don't even know where.
But my top three is Sprite, Coke, and then orange soda.
Sunkiss or Fanta?
I would have to say I'm more of a, I feel like I grew up drinking more Sunkissed.
Yeah, well, I would agree with that.
If I had to pick, I would probably pick like a Hill Country Fair, like an off-brand, not name brand, just the orange soda.
And he's going ATB with it.
Yeah, I like all the like orange soda, grape soda, strawberry soda. Those are like so good to me.
Do you think grape soda, like, hold on, do you like the taste of artificial grape?
Yes.
I can't do it.
I like grape. It's one of my favorite flavors. Like,
grape, I can't do it.
When I get a slushy or a snow cone, grape is in there.
Okay.
Sure, it might be grape mixed with them, but it's absolutely great.
I can't do it.
No, that it doesn't taste like regular, like real grape.
No, it does not at all. At all. I can't do it. Okay. Favorite soda? My favorite soda? I'm with you. Fun fact, I don't drink soda like that. Like, I can't tell you the last time I had soda, but if I am drinking a soda, it is Sprite. Okay, if I'm at a restaurant and I'm ordering a drink, it's Sprite. I don't even think I can give you a top three.
It's Sprite. Sprite is the one.
It's
like,
Sprite. Like, if I'm drinking a soda, it's definitely going to be Sprite.
Sprite is so good.
I will say, though, I do enjoy, every now and again, I do enjoy a 7-Eleven Slurpee that is flavored with Coke and cherry and blue raspberry. I do enjoy those every now and again.
Blue raspberry is my other flavor. Like, when I go, do you ever go to Kauai's, the snow cone place?
I've been there a couple times.
Yeah, I go there. I get a rock and roll, which is literally a grape and blue raspberry rock swirl and slush. And then when I go to Sonic, I get a grape blue raspberry and lemon slushy.
Now, see, when I go to Sonic, I get a blue Powerade slush every time. Listen, Powerade, that is my, I don't drink alcohol. I barely drink soda. Powerade, like that is my go-to drink. That is my favorite drink.
Eric is out. He's a Powerade over Gatorade person.
I absolutely am. I got Powerade standing in my fridge as we speak. Okay. Yeah,
I prefer Gatorade, but I've never disliked Powerade.
Powerade all day. Like, y'all will endorse me one day. Y'all will sponsor me one day. I promise you. Powerade guy, hands down. So, yeah, like, if I'm not drinking Powerade and I'm not drinking water, It would be a Sprite. Like, if I'm at a restaurant, I'll get a Sprite. I can't even give you a top three, but I do hear what you're saying about, like, the Coke machines, the mixing machines.
Yeah.
I mean, really, truth be told, I feel like any fast food place, you're going to taste whatever is left over.
But that's why...
A little bit.
That's why I only like the ones where it's individual, to where it's like, yeah, I'll taste the last Sprite from the...
When I go to Whataburger, right... If most of the time I'll just get the Powerade, right? But if I'm feeling like, let's mix it up some, I will mix in Sprite with the blue Powerade. That is what I would do.
Yeah. But like the dispenser isn't.
Right. It's solo. Yeah. It's solo dolo. I will say this. I might be the minority on this, but water from fast food places does not taste. I don't know. It doesn't taste right to me.
I could co-sign that.
Okay. I don't trust water from fast food places, bro. I'm sorry. I just can't do it. Can't do it. Sorry. But hey, that is a wrap on this episode of Birds at the Rodeo. I'm Eric, the resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And what say you, Seahawks fan, 12, stand up. Let us know how you feel. Lombardi Trophy's coming back home to Seattle. How you feeling about it, Patriots fans? We know how you're feeling. It's okay. Cowboys fans, do y'all want to sign George Pickens long term? Did you not see enough out of him? Do you not trust him? Do you want to trade him?
Anybody with that sentiment, turn in your jersey, because that'd be insane.
Turn in your jersey. That's funny. I'd like to hear what they had to say. Eagles fans, how do y'all feel about all the news that's coming out of Philly right now? Are you like me? Are you kind of like just up in the air and in a state of flux about what this upcoming season may look like for us? Or maybe you have more optimistic point of view. If so, let me know, because I need it right now, honestly. And what's your favorite soda? Is it Sprite like me and Lando? Are you a grape guy? Are you an artificial grape guy like Lando here? Or are you, I don't know, are you Coke? Are you Pepsi? Are you Mountain Dew? Are you...
Oh, yuck. Mountain Dew.
You don't like Mountain Dew?
Okay. I don't like Mountain... Root beer is also gross.
Yeah, I don't drink root beer. Never have. Don't fail that.
The Pepsi product that is... But it doesn't actually have a Coke-like counterpart, but it has, like, me in a chokehold. Big Red. I love Big Red.
Never been a fan of Big Red.
Love Big
Red. I'll say this too before we get off. Unpopular opinion. Dr. Pepper tastes like cough syrup. I'm dying on that hill. Dying on that hill, I say.
Definitely very low on the soda tier list for me. Like, in terms of...
It's cough syrup, bro.
Because I like soda so much to where, like, if I don't have a bit... Like, if I'm eating something and there's sodas there, like... I'm going to get one, whether they don't have Sprite. Like, obviously, I'm going to pick a Sprite they have, but they don't have, I'll get something else. If it gets all the way to Dr. Pepper, I'll probably get it. But, like, root beer, probably just wouldn't drink it one, or wouldn't drink, like, a cream soda. Yeah.
And on that note, are you a root beer or cream soda guy? Y'all let us know in the comments, man. Like, comment, subscribe. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on TikTok. Follow us on Twitter.
Hit that notification bell.
Notification button.
Hit all so you know when we get all updates for episode we do.
And if you're listening to us via podcast, please leave us a review, whether you're on Spotify podcast, Apple podcast, wherever you find your podcast enjoyment. Please leave us a review. Let us know what you thought. Let us know how you feel. Peace.
Later.